Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we learn a little bit about being a wildlife rehabilitator. Today there's an organized network of people around the country concerned with taking injured wild animals and birds in, nursing them back to health, and then releasing them back into the wild. Today we meet one of those, a writer and bird rehabilitator, Susie Gilbert. She's the author of a children's book, Hawk Hill, and her memoir of creating her own rehabilitation facility, Flyaway, which is located in the New York Hudson River Valley, which Flyaway is also the title of her book, Flyaway, How a Wild Bird Rehabber Sought Adventure and Found Her Wings. She founded the Home Rehabilitation Center in 2002 and has since treated countless songbirds, waterbirds, and raptors. She'll be the guest for Wild at Art that takes place tomorrow at the Tulsa Garden Center. It gets underway at 1 o'clock. She'll be speaking tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the center. The Wild at Art features original art, gifts, and one-of-a-kind creations. Sales support the effort of Tulsa area wildlife rehabilitators. Susie Gilbert is our guest today. Susie Gilbert, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. It's nice to be here.
You've, besides being a writer, you've been a wild bird rehabilitator. How did you get started doing this?
Well, I have been doing this for about 25 years, and I lived in New York City for quite a while, and then eventually I moved to the country, to the Hudson Valley, and a friend of mine said, why don't you go to Rhinebeck, which is a little further upstate, and check out the Hudson Valley Raptor Center. And it was a sanctuary for only birds of prey. And I just went to take a look and fell madly in love with birds of prey. And I ended up working there for 11 years. So just learning all about these birds. While I was there, I wrote a children's book called Hawk Hill because I was so infatuated with them. I wanted everyone to know how wonderful these birds were.
Yeah, and they are amazing birds.
Yeah.
So eventually at some point, you left the Raptor Center and you had this idea of creating your own rehabilitation center. At first you wanted to do it for raptors, and then you realized your property really wasn't set right for raptors.
Exactly.
And you started doing small birds.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like?
Well, my property wasn't built for raptors because you need really big flight cages for, you know, for an eagle, you need a 100-foot flight cage. And my property is very hilly and rocky and wooded. So I didn't have the space and I didn't have the money because those cages are very expensive. So I thought I would do smaller birds because there was a need for flight cages for songbirds. People, there were songbird rehabbers, and there were people who took care of water birds, and then there were the birds of prey people north of me, but nobody had a flight cage where injured songbirds could get their strength back, or fledgling songbirds who were old enough to fly could practice and learn how to look for bugs that I would put into the flight cage. So that was my niche. It was only supposed to be for healthy adult or almost adult songbirds.
Now, I could see the whole rehabilitation effort for raptors. Those are big birds. Yeah. That you can see them. And but, you know, songbirds, there are many ways for them in their interactions with man that end badly for songbirds.
Yes.
And I think most people don't give that a second thought.
Yeah.
Is that a particular in the Hudson Valley where you live where people are really concerned about that? Or how this idea of stopping for a songbird, an injured songbird, and taking it to a rehab, I think most people would just not do that.
There are more songbirds than birds of prey because, you know, prey species are more, there are more of them.
Right.
But the populations of songbirds are declining so rapidly, and there are so many things that can go wrong for them. Outdoor cats, that's the number one killer of songbirds. And then there's
glass buildings.
Window strikes, yes. Loss of habitat. And so songbirds are actually they're a fragile type of bird, and they really do need help. You know, birds of prey are the glamour birds, but small songbirds are the ones that really do need help, and they're very difficult. You know, they're hard to rehab because they are so small. Their metabolisms are so fast, and you really need to know what you're doing in order to help them.
So how did you begin to learn about that? Because I would think even your veterinarians might be familiar with raptors a little bit or large exotic birds or parrots and things like that, and you
right.
can sort of extrapolate. But you know, maybe a canary or something? You know, is that how they learn?
It's a steep learning curve. Plus, they are so little. A bird of prey, you know, you can hold on to a bird of prey. When I first started working with songbirds, a friend of mine said, "Here, look, see this problem with his foot?" And I said, "I can barely see the bird, let alone his foot. I mean, he's so little." And you really have to develop a whole new set of techniques to deal with songbirds. And they are difficult, but they're so rewarding because people think birds are, you know, there's a flock of birds. They're all alike. And they're not. Every single bird has a personality. They differ from bird to bird. You know, one junco is not the same as the next junco. And when you start rehabbing them and you work with them and watch them as they heal and get better, it's an amazing thing to watch, to realize that each bird is such an individual.
Now, in your book, Fly Away, you document, it's a memoir of creating this songbird sanctuary and rehab facility, and you involve the whole family.
Yes.
And it quickly spirals out of control where herons are in the bathroom and all sorts of things. And obviously, your family totally buys into this idea of trying to rehab every creature that comes to your door. And it's amazing to me that, I guess once this news got out, people were bringing birds left and right.
Oh, they were everywhere. It was like a bird explosion. And my children, when I started, were 7 and 8. So luckily, they just went along with it. They thought, oh, this is big fun. And, oh, look, another bird's coming in. So they would help me. And each had their little niche. And my daughter became really skilled at getting little tiny nestling songbirds to eat. You know, she would figure out little ways to make them eat. My son would help me with the bigger birds, like herons, where you can't really do it by yourself. They've got those big beaks. You know, they can be kind of dangerous.
Right.
But they would help me out. And this sort of chaotic way of living with peregrines in the bathroom became a way of life.
So it quickly grew beyond songbirds, every species of bird.
That idea of just healthy songbirds, I don't even think I made it through a week. And then I had a bird of prey, and then I had an egret, and then I spent a lot of time on the phone with other rehabbers saying, what do I do? I've never had a bird like this before. Mm-hmm. And this is the beauty of rehabilitators, is we really help each other. You know, even in different states, I'm friends with rehabilitators all over the country, mostly through Facebook and through the internet. And we share information, we share stories, we help each other.
I think one of the first stories you write about is about a little small sparrow. I think it was the one where you couldn't see the foot.
Yeah.
And this little bird, it's a matter of weighing a number of grams.
Yeah.
How do you even check out the wings? I mean, I would think even just moving the wings would be prone to create more injury for the bird.
Well, it can be. If you don't know what you're doing, you can injure a bird just by holding him the wrong way, which is why when people find injured birds, they really do need to bring them to a licensed rehabber, because the people who are licensed and know what they're doing know how to handle these birds so that they don't create further injury.
Now, you were talking about your daughter getting small birds to eat. Is that a common problem with songbirds when they're injured? I would think they just sort of shut down.
Well, you know, depending on the bird, again, this is part of rehabbing, is you're always figuring out what is best for this particular bird, because each bird takes injury and captivity a different way. You know, they react to it a different way. So if you have a nest of little tiny songbirds, some of them will gape. If you have a worm in a pair of tweezers, you hold it over them, and some of them will immediately open their beaks and want to be fed, and you're golden with them. But there will be one or two that just, they're not going to eat. They're not going to open their beaks. So you have to try all these tricks to get them to open their beaks.
You almost have to create a behavior, so it's sort of like a predatory behavior, so that the bird wants to, you know, sort of chase and find the worm.
Well, they're so little at that point. If you're talking about nestling songbirds, they're tiny, you know, and they have no feathers. You know, they don't move around. You just need to sort of nurture them so that you can do little tricks like tapping on their beak, like shaking the nest a little bit, creating a shadow so that they think the parent is coming. There are all kinds of tricks. But, you know, you really need to know what you're doing. With adults, with luck, you set their wing, you do whatever needs to be done to help them heal, you put them in an enclosure where they feel safe, and then you leave them alone. You just supply them with food, which is mostly bugs, and you supply them with food and let them heal.
Do birds instinctively know when they're healed enough to fly again?
They don't. No. No. And so they don't know that they should sit there and not move and not wiggle their wing and, you know, re-injure their bone, which is why you really need to leave them alone. Most rehabbers are not vets themselves. We work with vets. We work with these saintly veterinarians who donate their time.
You tell some stories about some of the vets you've worked with. You know, one who was brought a screech owl who didn't realize that a screech owl will play dead when it's under stress. And so he looks down at it like it's, what's with this bird? And the bird wakes up and bites him in the nose.
Yes. Grabs him by the nose.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he had looked down at this bird thinking, oh, no, he's dead. And the bird grabbed him by the nose and he couldn't get him off. So he had to walk through his waiting room with a screech owl dangling from his nose to get a vet tech to get it off. And still, you'd think he would draw the line and say, no more wildlife, but he persevered.
I think that I don't know if it's the same vet, but you were telling about the sparrow. He says, what do you have in here? Because he couldn't see it. And he reached in and goes, oh, it's a sparrow, and it just bit me.
Yeah, that's right. You think of sparrow, little tiny sparrows as being such defenseless birds, but they can bite you. They really can. They've got big beaks.
Yeah. Earlier you were talking about fledgling birds and birds that, you know, not even ready to fly yet and coming in and rescuing them. That gets into a question I have about wildlife rehabilitation, which is, it's a great area, and I really admire you for doing it. But what are the ethos of when to step in and when to let nature take its course? Because, you know, as you well know, a lot of animals are injured in some encounter with man, whether it be cars or flying into windows or something like that. But others, it's a matter of, you know, you're injured trying to find food, you're injured defending your territory. All sorts of reasons why you'd be injured in the wild.
Right.
Is there an ethos of when you take in a bird or an animal and when you let nature run its course? Because even in death, that animal is feeding carrion birds, vultures, or things on the ground, or just the ground itself.
Right, exactly. And
becoming fertilizer at some point.
And that's a really good question. If you're a rehabber, you can specialize in different animals, birds, you can take in anything you want. People have different rules they follow. Personally, I believe that all kinds of wildlife, they're under such stress because of just the sheer number of humans there are. We put so many things in their way. There are buildings, there are oil spills, there are, you know, housing developments. There are just
power lines.
Power lines. There's, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And we have made it difficult for them to survive. So if you take an animal that's injured, I think if you can save that animal, you should, because it will make up for all the damage that people have done to the environment. And, you know, yes, I know people belong here as well. But if you can help an injured creature, and you have the power to do it, you know, we have the ability to help them, that we should. We should absolutely do that. And sometimes the animal is beyond, the animal or bird is beyond help. And in that case, we can give them a painless death. And that is so much better than letting them suffer. There's no reason to let a dying animal suffer. You know, we can help in that direction too.
In fact, that sparrow you talked about, it actually developed an infection in its wings.
It developed a bone infection, and there was nothing that could be done. And so in that case, we put him to sleep. And it's a tough thing for rehabbers. We do end up with broken hearts, you know, all the time on a regular basis because, we love these creatures and we want to see them thrive and survive. But, you know, some win, some don't.
My guest today is Susie Gilbert. She is a writer and wild bird rehabilitator. She's the author of the children's book, Hawk Hill and Fly Away, How a Wild Bird Rehabber Sought Adventure and Found Her Wings. It's published by HarperCollins. It's originally in hardback, now in softcover. And she'll be a guest for Wild at Art. That'll take place tomorrow from about 1 till 9:15 at the Tulsa Garden Center. She'll be speaking at 7:30 tomorrow evening. And be all sorts of gifts and original art, and it will support Tulsa area wildlife rehabilitators. Take us back to the moment. It might have been one of those songbirds, or it might have been prior when you were working at with raptors. That first moment when a bird that you were responsible for nursed it back to health, and then you release it into the wild. What was that experience like?
Oh, it was.
What was the bird?
The first one, I think, was a hermit thrush that I released myself. Actually, I'm segmenting this because when I was at the Raptor Center, I released birds of prey.
Sure, but that was a part of a team as opposed to doing it yourself.
To myself. But, you know, either way, when you release a bird, it's the most amazing emotion because part of you has grown to, you know, you're not supposed to care for these birds. You're not supposed to love them because it's against the rules. And you know they're going to go. You don't want them to like you. You don't want them to become acclimated to you because they're wild creatures. So you really have to be hands-off. But you still admire them. And when they heal enough to let them go, you feel such incredible joy because they're going back to where they're going home. They're going back to where they live. And you have helped them. If it weren't for you, they wouldn't be going. And so it's a great feeling of accomplishment and happiness, but at the same time, you're not going to see them again. You know, odds are you'll never see these birds again. And so you're a little sad to see them go, but it's far outweighed by the joy you feel.
Deep in your heart of hearts, don't you wish they'd kind of make a nice little respectful circle over your head before they fly?
I wish that they would swoop down and wave their wings at me and kiss me on the cheek with their beak and then go.
That doesn't happen, obviously.
It doesn't happen. No.
Now, I had a guest that did rehab crows years ago and wrote about crows. And I know you've done crows too, and she says they're just like the smartest bird in the world.
Oh, I love crows. I love them.
And she said the crows wouldn't necessarily make a Hollywood ending, but the crow actually did come back.
Well, you know, they do. You know, all the crows that I have released, and I've raised lots and lots of crows, they are friendly with me, but I make sure never to raise a single crow because they have to be in a flock. They are a social bird. So if I release six crows, they do hang around the house. They, you know, I can go out in the woods and I will see them and they'll come back and I do what's called a soft release so that I let them go, but I continue to provide supplemental food while they're learning the ropes on how to survive out there. But it's wonderful to go out and actually see a bird that you've rehabbed.
Yeah. Now, I would think that would be cool. What species, I mean, I know it's sort of like you have to have this sort of reserve between connecting with
yes,
the birds.
Yes.
But is there a particular species that you really enjoy working with?
Well, I do enjoy working with crows. I love crows. Mm-hmm. I do. And, you know, pretty much all of them, red-tailed hawks. I love red-tailed hawks. They're very sort of matter-of-fact birds of prey. They scope out the situation. They see what's going on. And unless they're a really territorial, aggressive female, they will pretty much let you do what you have to do, and they'll go along with it. And then when they've healed, off they go.
Yeah.
So it's good.
My guest today is Susie Gilbert. Her book is titled Fly Away, How a Wild Bird Rehabber Sought Adventure and Found Her Wings. It's published by HarperCollins. She'll be the guest for Wild at Art tomorrow evening at the Tulsa Garden Center. She'll be speaking at about 7:30, but the event goes on from about 1 o'clock till the late evening. All proceeds benefit the Tulsa Area Wildlife Rehabilitators.
You know, I'd like to say something about the Tulsa rehabbers who I am here from New York visiting Tulsa, and it's my first time here. And I know the rehabbers in this area just from Facebook and from connecting with them through the internet. And some of these rehabbers are really close friends. And this is the first time I've actually met them face to face. and they...
So it's mainly just an email message or something? Or how do you deal with this particular species? Or
how do you deal with it? How you know, do you have any tricks that you use to deal with this species? You know, solidarity. A lot of it is, I've just lost a bird, and you get sympathy. Or I've just released a bird, you are so happy for this person. But one great thing about Wing It, which is the group here, is they've partnered with Tulsa Audubon. And so they're working together to help the wildlife in this area. And that's such a great, it's such a great thing. It's a network of rehabilitators. And, you know, the idea is just to not only help the wildlife, but raise awareness and let people know that there are places to bring injured wildlife and that, you know, we should do whatever we can to help them, that we should be good stewards.
You know, I think that's a important message that most people are probably unaware of, that in virtually every part of the country, but here in Oklahoma as well, if there is an injured bird that maybe flies into a window, maybe hurts its wings, I think the tendency is to say, oh, I'm really sorry about that, walk on. And let nature take its course, or let the cat take its course. It's mostly, you know, sorry.
Oh, watch that.
but you know, I mean, that's the reality. And I guess it's important to let people know that there are places that will take in even songbirds.
Yes. Songbirds, birds of prey, mammals, any kind of mammal. You know, there are rehabbers. Whatever type of wildlife is injured and in need of help, you can call, you know, track people down through the internet, and you can help save this animal or bird.
What's the most difficult species for you to work with of birds? Are there particular ones that just tend to, when they're injured, sort of shut down and not want to respond to treatment?
Yeah, there are certain birds that are really difficult, like swifts, swallows, those kinds of birds that catch insects in the air. They're very difficult because, you know, they won't pick food up.
And a lot of swallows are like communal animals, too. I mean, they live in huge colonies, and just being separated is a big part of it as well.
Right. That's really difficult. There are birds of prey called excipitors, and they're woodland species. They're really highly strung, and they are very difficult because they stress out in a heartbeat. Herons, egrets are very difficult because, you know, it's all according to the bird's stress level. And again, since each bird is an individual, occasionally you'll get a heron, a great blue heron, who's a piece of cake. You know, he's just an easy bird, and you're amazed, you know, because they sort of go against type. And it all folds in with how individual these birds are, which is why if one is injured, you know, it's not just another bird, or it's not just, you know, another raccoon or what. It's an individual.
And you really feel that from, say, robin to robin, for, you know, whatever the species.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the longer you work with them, the more individual they become.
Earlier you talked about, you know, the idea of when you actually release a bird and the feelings you go through, and then a while ago you were talking with other rehabbers about when you lose an animal. What is that experience like? I mean, it is nature, but at the same time, it's more than that.
It's difficult when you lose a bird. Sometimes if a bird comes in and they're on the edge of not making it, That's easy. Of course, it's easier to deal with because, you know, you're giving them a safe place to go. They, you know, they're not going to make it anyway. So you don't invest in them. But there are some times where you have borderline cases. Say there's a broken wing that may heal correctly and it may not. And you don't know. And you want to give the bird the chance. And you keep him for weeks and weeks and work with him and try and get him healed, only to discover it's not going to work. And, you know, there aren't all that many places to keep non-releasable birds. So sometimes you'll go through all this work and then end up having to put the bird to sleep. And it's heartbreaking. But there are some birds who just are miserable in captivity. And for them, putting them to sleep is a blessing because, you know, it's like being in jail. It's right. It's terrible for them. So in that case, you know, it is a blessing, but you're sad.
Conversely, do you find there are species of birds or individuals of birds that kind of find captivity okay? And despite your best efforts to keep from building an attachment, become attached anyway?
Yes.
I think there was a goldfinch, right?
Yeah. There are different birds that think they come into rehab and they're like, wow, this is Club Med, you know? I have food. I'm warm. I've got no problems. So those kinds of birds, that's a challenge as well. We do.
You tell a story in a book that I just have to sort of relate.
Yeah.
This is children were part of the process, and the first time you brought home a red hawk after having some songbirds, and immediately the hawk, I guess, predates on one of the songbirds. That must have been a difficult story to tell to the kids.
That was, one of the birds had escaped, and the bird was flying around, and another bird managed to grab him. And my children being so much a part of this, they could understand that sometimes mistakes are made, that a cage door might be left open, that you can raise songbirds and let them go and watch them fly around the yard, and then all of a sudden a Cooper's hawk will swoop in and grab one. And it's nature. It's what happens. And, they learned.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful book, Fly Away, How a Wild Bird Rehabber Sought Adventure and Found Her Wings. You can learn more at Wild at Art tomorrow at the Tulsa Garden Center. Susie Gilbert, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. It was a pleasure.
Susie Gilbert is a wild bird rehabilitator and author. Her books include the children's book Hawk Hill and Fly Away, How a Wild Bird Rehabber Sought Adventure and Found Her Wings. It's published by HarperCollins. She'll be the guest for Wild at Art tomorrow evening at the Tulsa Garden Center. The event actually gets underway at 1 o'clock with special gifts which support the efforts of Tulsa area wildlife rehabilitators. You can learn more at facebook.com/wingintulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.